Welcome, guys, back to another episode of Infinite Weekly, where we got reviews, we got discussions, and we got Maidu back on the show. Let's do it, man. We are back, man. I got the name right this time. Yo, so how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man.
I'm so happy to have you back on this show. You have no idea. If you guys haven't checked out that first episode, please. It was a lot of fun. It was the very first episode of Infinite Lies and Games. It was so good. Taylor Vesperia, we talked about mental fortitude. We talked about his situation at the job, man. It was good. If you haven't checked it out, please, guys, check that stuff out. And today we're going to get into a very special and close topic. It is my favorite game series, and Elijah, you know, he does a great job of, like, really expressing this story, too, of how we got together, but we are both into Resident Evil. The new game just came out, so this is a perfect opportunity to kind of delve deep into our history, what we like about Resident Evil, the new stuff, the junk that's come out.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a free-flowing episode, so we're just going to get right into
so
it, right, man?
Okay, yeah. So, one thing I got to say, first and foremost, is the way we met, the way Infinite Lives and Games even came to have its first guest.
Oh, man.
Yours truly was through Resident Evil. People were asking me, like, yo, people who I went to high school were like, yo, how did you link up with Victor? Like, what? And I'm like, it was through Resident Evil. You were playing the Origins Collection. And see, what attracted me to your stream in particular was speedrun.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, this nigga speedruns Resident Evil? What
yes,
the
f-? Sir.
And not only were you speedrunning, but you were trying to go for the world record. So
that's
like, this nigga
right.
This nigga's serious about this.
Oh, man, so serious. And it's funny because that episode, that time you tuned into the stream, I was really on track to actually coming in second place during that speed run. It was a great speed run, but I ended up messing up all that stuff. But I'll get into speed runs in a little bit. But yeah, man, you got on the Twitch.
I got on the Twitch stream and I saw, I'm like, yo, what's up, man? How you doing? Because at the time, I was playing Resident Evil 2 Remake. And that game, I had owned it. No, I think it was 2018 I got the game.
Yeah.
And I had never played it. I had just been sitting there. So when I tuned into your stream, I believe it was 2020.
Probably a couple, like 2019 or something like that. Because I was already speedrunning in 2020. But I had started speedrunning, I think, in like 2017, 2018. Probably even a little before that. It was definitely earlier.
Yeah.
It was definitely earlier than 2020.
But I know I tuned into yours around 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like, I was playing RE2 Remake, and I was looking at a bunch of speedruns because I was having my own issues with getting S+ on hardcore. That was that bullshit, which, by the way, I did do it.
Let's go. I tuned into your stream,
man.
He was trying to do that beginning part with the, I was like, no!
I did it with Leon and Claire.
Let's go.
But it was so good. I got the rocket launcher and that freaking minigun.
Yeah.
And I was just so hyped.
Let's go.
But yeah, I was playing RE2 at the time. So when I saw you playing Origins, I'm like, let me go see this, what this is about.
Yeah.
And then we chatted. I wrote in the Twitch chat.
Yup.
And then you hit me up on Messenger right after.
Yeah,
he was like, yo, listen, I'm actually trying to do a podcast. And I loved the idea. I was like, excuse me? I would love to be a part of this.
Let's go.
The fact that you asked me, I was I am unworthy.
Like, yo, absolutely not. It's funny because I had known you a little bit in high school, but it was like more of acquaintance thing, like, you know, hi, bye, what's up, and how you doing? But I always knew you had a lot of energy and a lot of things to say, man. And so, you know, you popped into my stream. It was really friendly conversation. It was like, you know, Vic, you got to get this stuff out there. But the only way to do that is to get people. It's to get good people. And Elijah is a very good and humble person. So I just had to, I had to shoot out the message. Yeah, man.
You had to be blushed,
man. And that's how it was, man. And so, you know, we started chatting it up. And it was months before I even started the podcast. When I had messaged him about it, I was formulating the idea. I was coming up with it. I was like, yo, I want to do this podcast, but I don't know what's going to be about. I know it's going to be about games, but what specifically? And then, you know, I was like, just shoot it out, Vic. Shoot out the question.
Yeah.
And you said, yeah. And I'm like, oh, let's go.
Yeah. Yo, honestly, yo, because, like, first of all, it's the first time I've ever been a part of something like that. you know, where I'm actually going to be on a podcast. And I always, you know, I always entertained the idea mentally, you know.
Yeah.
But I never actually thought I would be on one.
Yeah.
Because I'm naturally, like I said, I got a lot of shit to say. I can talk a lot of shit. I got mad energy. I'm loud as hell. You know what I'm saying? So I just naturally always wanted to be in a podcast because it's like, yo, bouncing energies off of one another and just enjoying conversation, you know,
it's beautiful, man.
Whether it's mindless chatter or whether it's very thought provoking, yo, both, we do all of that. You're all welcome. It's like the spirit bomb, yo. Give me all that energy.
Raise your hands in the air. No, man, that's what this show is about, too. You know what I'm saying? Not only is it about these serious and, you know, more thought out topics of the experiences that people have behind games, but also getting people together like behind a fireplace. You know, that's how humans connect. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Telling stories, telling experiences, laughs and stuff. So this is what this is about.
Yo, it's just it's beautiful. Yeah. But Resident Evil,
as
a whole. Let me just say first and foremost that I'm not like you when it comes to Resident Evil. You're the GOAT.
Yeah, I got a lot to say.
Yeah. Me personally, I've played a few of them. I've dabbled in a few. But my first Resident Evil was 4.
4? All right. 4.
And all right. I don't want to get into like my favorite one yet, but 4 was the one that got me.
Mm-hmm.
It got me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember as a kid, and I had 2 older brothers.
Yeah.
They owned the original Resident Evil for the PlayStation.
Ooh, okay.
And that game used to scare the shit out of me.
Oh, man. It's good. Yeah, man.
I was like 7, 8 years old.
Oh.
And the title screen, when you would press start, you just hear Resident Evil. That shit used to give me goosebumps.
Yeah, bro,
yo,
I'll never get over it. And each of them, too, they had it like in their own tone, but it was also like very menacing, very yo, you about to get into some shit. All right.
Yes. That was the first thing off rip.
Yeah.
That, you know, when I first experienced Resident Evil, I would watch them play, and every little thing would be a jump scare.
Yeah,
they walk in a room,
even though it looked like the screens were like the pictures were pre-rendered and the zombies were all like polygon looking, but somehow it still captured that essence of like, yo, I turn this corner, there's gonna be something there, and even though it's like a ugly looking zombie, that shit was scary, man.
Yes, it was.
And the music, the tone of the game, everything about it, it's just crazy.
That is key.
Yeah, that's very key.
Because when you play... So Resident Evil 4 was my first, and it's probably one of my favorites until I played 2 Remake. I think 2 Remake may have a slight edge over 4, but they are remaking 4.
Oh, man. I have a lot to say about that.
I honestly don't think they should do that.
I'm on that boat, too.
I don't think they should remake 4.
They really should.
When 4 came out, I know you remember this.
Oh, man.
Resident Evil 4 was regarded as one of the greatest video games of all time.
I think it still is, to be honest with
you. It definitely is.
That game has, and that's what I'm trying to say. Look, like, that's my point as to why I don't think Resident Evil 4 should be remade, because it has stood the test of time. If you go back and play it, the controls are still a little tanky compared to nowadays. But first off, you have to understand that Resident Evil 4 did this first, right?
Yes.
They did the camera behind the shoulder thing. And so when you play Resident Evil 4, the controls are a little bit like, you'll have to get used to them again. But once you start flowing, forget it. You don't even feel the controls. The game holds up so well mechanically that I just don't, because when you remake games, right, what is the purpose behind, there's multiple purposes, but what do you think is the biggest reasons behind remaking games?
It's for the graphics.
Yeah, it's for the graphics.
It's for the graphics. Maybe you get better voice acting.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's definitely the sound, the visual appeal, and the audio appeal.
Exactly.
Because, all right, while Resident Evil 4, masterpiece of a game it is, the writing, like the dialogue, is very cringy. All right? You're going down, Sadler. Like, okay, nigga.
There's a lot of lines in there.
There's
a lot of great lines, though.
I have a friend, right? He was in high school for a little bit, and he moved. He moved to Jersey, right?
Yeah.
It's my man, Jason.
All right, all right.
Right? Jason, you met Jason. You know Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Me and him, we used to go on rampages.
Where
we would just quote Resident Evil lines.
Oh, my God.
Upa la Stella! Yeah.
They were one more time.
Yo, we used to go, hell
no. No, thanks.
bro. Like when he like he's about to toss him into that pit cave and he yeah. like shoots the bell thing. He goes, fall for this whole trick. You know, like, he's hanging down. I'm like, yo, who is this guy, Superman? Like, he's hanging from, like, the pit. Like, yeah. the pit is right under him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Leon did a lot of crazy shit in that game, to be honest.
Leon was definitely... Look, here's the thing about that game is that, like, Leon is... He's serious, but he also has, like, those one-liners that just make you... Like, at the time, I thought they were great. When I was a kid, when I was playing, I was like, this guy's a badass.
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. But if you kind of think about all the other Resident Evil games too, they kind of had their own cheesy lines too, which mm-hmm. I appreciate that Resident Evil 4 kind of kept with that, because if you go back to Resident Evil 1, the first one, oh my God.
Like, Jill Sandwich.
almost a Jill Sandwich. Oh my God. The most classic line. And it's so corny, but yet it holds the test of time, man. Like those, and I appreciate Resident Evil 4 for that. But back to why I don't think it needs a remake or re-release or whatever it is because all of those qualities are still there. Like, they still has, besides the story writing, because they can use, you know, a little bit of story writing, but besides the story writing, the controls are still fine. The game still looks pretty well. Like, I'm sure you could tweak it a little bit here and there to make it look better, but it still looks great. The gameplay is so archaic, like, the way it's designed, that I think anybody can pick up that game. And mind you, the game, I don't know if you noticed, but the game actually adjusts its difficulty level depending on how bad or well you're doing. I don't know if you knew that.
I actually didn't know that because, yeah. to be fair, so the better I did,
yeah.
the more pressure the zombies would put on you.
Yeah.
Like, they
yeah.
wouldn't give you any time to breathe.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, especially those pickaxe motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. They would just throw you with, like,
yo, they just keep
accuracy, man. Yo, like, just right. But that's what I'm saying. So if you did really well, they gave you less items. The zombies were more aggressive and they were more like they were faster. So, but if you were getting hit constantly, then they would drop more health items. They would drop more percentas. They would drop more like bullets. Yeah. Honestly, when I first started the game, obviously everyone, you know, when you first starting off the game, you're not that great at it. You know, you get into the village, the chainsaw oh, yes. guy just, you're oh, like, yes. oh, shit.
That nigga decapitates you.
Yeah. But if you notice, if you throw a grenade, all of the zombies explode and you'll see mad crap on the yes. floor. You'll see like a blue
yes,
light.
Yes, the glow, the blue lights,
yeah.
the yellow light, the yep. red light.
But once you go back and you're like, ah, no, nah, I'm a... You already know the cycle of the whole village and stuff. You start blasting zombies. They have less items. They drop less items. So when you get to your first merchant, you have less items to sell. And you're like, yo, how come I can't buy this?
Yeah.
So that's definitely something to keep in mind. That's a concept in 2004, man. That concept today still works.
It still works.
It's a great entry point for somebody that's not very good at Resident Evil, that's not very good at third person. They'll go into this game, the game will see that they're doing bad, and they'll adjust to them playing, and they'll go right along. They can enjoy the story, they can go through the game without having really fussing about how difficult it is. Again, that holds the test of time. That yeah. system holds the test of time. So there's so many good things about Resident Evil 4. It's just like, why?
I agree. Like, there's really, one thing I can add to is that the longevity, like you mentioned, is ridiculous.
So
the first time I played Resident Evil 4 was on the Wii.
Yeah.
Beat it on the Wii.
Yeah.
Then I played it on the PS3.
yeah,
beat it on the PS3.
Yep.
Then I played it on the PS4.
Yeah.
I haven't beat it on the PS4, but I plan on beating it on the PS4.
Yeah.
Especially before the remake. RE4.
Remake. I honestly hope they don't. I don't want them to. I think they'll take away from the game.
Yeah. But you know what? Even though I don't want it, I know that if it comes out, they're not gonna fuck it up. I don't think they're gonna fuck it up. Because if they made RE4 like RE2.
Oof.
Remake, and listen, RE2 remake, it, like I said, is probably my favorite.
It is very, very well done. It's probably, like, it's the perfect modern Resident Evil.
Yes,
I would say that.
Easily. Three, I haven't played 3, but I've seen gameplay. It's not as good.
It's not as good. 3, not without getting into 3, because I can make a whole video complaining about 3.
Oof, complaining, but, yikes.
Yeah, no, I just, look. Resident Evil 3, it's like you had a big-ass cake with Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. Right, it was delicious. It was the best cake. Somebody put this very, very well to me, and I thought it was great. Resident Evil 3 is like the little side dessert that you get, like a little piece of Jello that's really good, but it's like it's not enough, and it's good, but that's what it is. It's just like a little piece of ice cream.
And that's what I think Resident Evil 3 is.
Yeah, like, you know how you go to a restaurant and they got the full cake?
Yeah.
And then they give you the slice?
Yeah.
Yeah, so RE3 is the slice.
It's like a little slice, yeah.
And then RE2 is like the whole cake.
It's like, yo, and exactly, because Resident Evil 3 kind of felt like a DLC, it kind of felt like it was very, very short. And contrary, the original Resident Evil 3 was also very short, too. Funny enough, the original Resident Evil 3 wasn't even supposed to be a mainline game. It was also supposed to be a DLC.
Mm.
Exactly. So, and another point I want to make is that I think Capcom was never going to give us a bigger, better, more explosive Resident Evil 3. I think Capcom stood with the same philosophy they had from before. That Resident Evil 2 was the big guy. Resident Evil 3 came out. It's this DLC package. Let's just toss it out there. Get some money from it. It's still going to be good. But we're going to make some quick cash, and that's it. And that's exactly what happened here in modernized Resident Evil 3. They knew it was going to make some quick buck. They tossed it out there, and they knew that people were going to buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, I think they stood with that same philosophy.
It's like they exhausted all their resources on two.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, listen, we are psychologically and mentally burned out. Let's just put this shit out.
Probably.
Get a few extra bucks, call it a day.
Yep.
Right after 3 came 4, and 4 was a colossal project, as we know.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4, actually, it started off as a totally different game, and they had to scrap that. That game, actually, a fun fact, that game became Devil May Cry. I don't know if you know that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The original Resident Evil 4, like, model and all that stuff, they completely scrapped it, but it was so far in that they was like, no, we can use this. So they took the assets from that game and made a completely different character. That's where Dante comes in. And if you play the original Devil May Cry and you open doors, it has the original sound cues from the original Resident Evil games. And there's so many aspects.
The first one. Only the first one. Because I played Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Like, for the PS2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back when I was, like, I don't know, like 12, 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got stuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the very beginning, I got stuck. I didn't know what the fuck to do, so I put it down and played it again.
Exactly. But you see that? Because nowadays, Devil May Cry is all about action-packed, no puzzles.
Yeah.
But the original Devil May Cry also had a lot of puzzles, which is from Resident Evil. That's why that game is so, like, puzzle-heavy, because they took some of the elements from what was going to be Resident Evil 4 and just made it a completely different thing. Even the whole castle you start off in Devil May Cry. Guess what? Who was supposed to be in that castle? Leon. So they remade it, and Devil May Cry is awesome, by the way. Yeah. The first game, it's hard. It's fucking hard as balls. But it's very good.
I've always wanted to revisit Devil May Cry.
Yeah. No, I think you should give it another shot. It's definitely a lot more harder than the Devil May Cry nowadays, but it holds its own.
Didn't they remaster
it? They did, but they didn't change a lot of it. They just kind of put a fresh coat of paint on it, sort of thing.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, they did the same thing with RE4. You know, they ported it to the PS3 and the PS4.
So many different... You can play that shit on your phone now.
They're probably going to... Oh, what?
I'm just saying that they reported it everywhere that you could probably put it on your...
Oh, I thought you meant they actually did a mobile version. I'm like, excuse me?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, listen, everybody... A lot of people play games on their phone, so it can work.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're probably going to make a PS5 port too.
I wouldn't be surprised. I want to go into where I started Resident Evil, and I kind of want to talk a little, make a little discussion about this, because I think it's very important. So the way that I started Resident Evil, probably the most menacing way possible as a kid to be introduced to Resident Evil. My first Resident Evil game was Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. Okay. So when I first started the game, and mind you, I didn't have a memory card back then. So, mind you, you had to have memory cards, right?
Shit.
So, I go into Resident Evil 3. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, right? And I'm constantly dying. And I'm constantly, like, and here's the thing. Every time I play the game, I get a little further. Because, you know, like, I'm running out of bullets so easily because I'm shooting all the zombies. I'm like, yo, I got to clear this out because I don't know if I'm going to come back here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, when you start off Resident Evil 3, it starts off kind of explosive. Like, you shoot... jumps out of the building, the original one, not the new one.
Yeah.
And so you get dumped into this place, and then you go into the alleyway, right? In the alleyway, that's where you kind of have your first, I guess, puzzle, where you have to kind of get the lighter from the bar, take the lighter, and then burn off the rope to get to the police station, right? It took me days just to even get to the bar, you know?
and find the lighter and find out what I had to do. I'm over here shooting every single zombie, checking every dumpster, everything. But at the same time, I'm constantly dying because I'm wasting my bullets. So every time I get a little further, right? And so when I finally get to the police station, this is one of the greatest scenes of all time in Resident Evil. When you get to the police station and Nemesis first jumps down, right? You have Brad. And he's like, Jill, we gotta... And then Nemesis just stomps right in front of him. And he's like, oh, shit. He runs back, right? And he, like, grabs him and just impales him. When I saw that as a fucking kid, bro, I put the control down, bro. I ran for my life. I'm like, holy shit, who is this? And then I leave the controller on the floor because I'm so scared to play. And then Nemesis walks up and... The thing is, you have a choice between running into the police station or fighting the monster, right? So if you don't pick anything, it automatically puts you against Nemesis. So I'm over here like, I can't play anymore. I can't play anymore. And then the screen goes, I can't pick anymore. And then Nemesis just starts beating the shit out of Jill. So I'm like, oh my God. So I pick up the controller again and he's just mopping my shit. So I'm like, and then she, obviously I die. And I'm like, I sit there for like literally like 30 minutes. Thinking about the scene over and over in my head, I'm like, yo, he just killed Brad. I'm about to fight this thing. I can't play this game anymore. Hours later, I get back into it. Yeah. I start playing again, and I'm like, now I gotta beat Nemesis. Mind you, no memory cards. So I'm constantly trying and trying again and getting further. Then I finally find out that you can go into the police station without fighting him. But again, he's still chasing you in the police station. I'm gonna get to the point. But basically, every time I played Resident Evil, I got a little further. Right? And I learned more. I learned what zombies not to kill, how to conserve bullets, what items to get, right? And I think that was how I started to love Resident Evil, because Resident Evil obviously is my favorite series. That's what really drove me to really love Resident Evil, because it was so difficult. It made me think. It got me scared. It made me count my bullets when I was shooting. Because mind you, you don't have a bullet counter in the original Resident Evils. They don't show your bullet counters. Oh. So I'm here like, I have 15 bullets. A zombie could take so many shots. If I'm caught reloading, this guy's gonna bite me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, count your bullets, Vic. Count your bullets. And I started doing this in my head, like 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, that's down. Now you can reload, and then you can go on and progress, because I didn't want to get caught reloading and have to get bitten. So Resident Evil kind of taught me, keep replaying a section, memorize it, and get better at it. And that's how I learned that philosophy, not only with Resident Evil, but in gaming in general. Because I learned that you're not going to get everything the first try. And this is how you get better at games, because you keep playing it over and over, and you keep doing it. So it pisses me off a little bit where, like, nowadays, and then we can go into that whole topic about how games are so easy. Because back in the days, man, listen, games didn't hold your hand. You had to solve everything by yourself. Even to this day, when you pick up a note in most recent Resident Evil games, it will light up the most important part in the note in green. And be like, clock tower number 356 is all in green. Man, listen, if you picked up a note in the original Resident Evil game, you better be reading that shit, because it's not going to point out where the exact password is at.
That's a fact, because you know what? To add on to that, I told you 4 was my first.
Yeah.
5 I played 2. 5 is okay. 6, trash. I didn't even
think of it. I have a lot to say about that one.
We're going to get into 7 and Village, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But
good stuff, yeah.
But before that, after I beat 4, I tried to get into the Origins Collection, 0 and 1, right? That's another reason why I was so attracted to your stream when you were speedrunning it. Because I'm like, this is a game that kicked my fucking ass.
Yeah.
The first one I played was RE4.
Yeah.
Then after RE4, I played RE5. Then after 5, I played 6. None of those games had the classic camera, the fixed camera, where it shifts according to where you are in the room.
Yeah.
I had so much trouble with that shit. Let me tell you something, man. When I saw your ass speedrunning it, I'm like, must be nice. Because for me, I couldn't even, like, all right, I started off with Jill in 1.
Yeah.
And I would keep dying, because what I would try to do is, first of all, the controls are a little weird.
They are.
The alternate controls are very weird.
They are very weird.
Because when the camera moves,
you kind of have to adjust.
Yeah. And you have to keep the stick in the same direction.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't,
yeah.
then you're going to like
beer off and shit. And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck, man? Yeah. I can see why people would prefer the original tank controls.
Yep, yeah. Honestly speaking, yeah, I would advise if you played the remake of that Origins, stick to tank controls.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm going to go back to it and play it. Through and through, but yeah. Like you said,
yeah,
in the newer games they highlight shit, but they don't do that in the Zero and One, even the remake. They don't highlight anything.
Nothing.
When I picked up the note, so one of the times I was just running around the fucking mansion trying to figure out what to do. One of the first things you have to do is get the dog whistle.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you have to blow the dog whistle. Yeah. And kill the dog and get the key.
You get a fake key from his collar.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So you find a note that says something about the dog collar.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, I guess I'll use the dog whistle. But there's no highlight for dog whistle. It's not like dog whistles lit up in green or nothing. Yeah,
exactly.
You know? And then even other notes, they tell you about herbs and like
how to combine them and stuff. Exactly. That is exactly.
None of that shit is highlighted.
I understand why they're doing it nowadays because, you know, they want to appease to the casual audience. You know, get people going in, buying the game, obviously, to help them out. But that's definitely an aspect that I miss. And I still do it to this day. I'll pick up every note, but they're not as in-depth as they used to be. If you read some of the newer stuff, you know, they have like little articles and stuff, but nothing with a lot of depth in it. Because even when you picked up notes in the original game, they gave you aspects of the story. You know, and nowadays you just watch a cutscene and it shows you like the whole thing.
Yeah.
It gives you the whole episode, the whole game and stuff, but... Just to keep segueing into it, that's how I started with Resident Evil, and then I kept going. And then the next one was Resident Evil 1, and then Code Veronica, which is probably... Code Veronica is probably my second favorite Resident Evil game.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Code Veronica is so underappreciated.
They didn't remaster that one, did they?
And they should!
Yeah, that's the main reason when I saw Code Veronica, I'm like, this is...
Oh, man. And it's so funny because they're remaking 4, and it's like, why? When Code Veronica... All right, first off, Code Veronica is where it started to go off the rails. Like, people had, like, powers and shit. But Code Veronica is definitely stepped on as a game overall. There is a mechanic that pisses people off when you first play the game. Because you can kind of soft lock yourself. And so when you get to a certain point in the game, you might not have enough bullets to progress. Like, literally.
Shit.
Yeah. So I understand that. But they can fix that with the remake. They can fix it. And I just think that the game flowed very well besides that one thing. It definitely holds... Without that aspect, it definitely holds the Resident Evil feeling to it. The story is fantastic. The characters are great. And playing with Claire is always a joy... Obviously, because, you know, Resident Evil 2 and stuff.
Of course. Yeah, like, yo, I didn't even know. There was a movie for Resident Evil. I think it was Degeneration.
There's multiple ones. There, yes. But that is one of them.
But I think I read... So, my brothers, you know, they were Resident Evil fans as well. They had one of the movies.
Yeah.
And I think I looked on the back of the cover for one of the movies.
Yeah.
And that's how I found out Chris had a sister. Because it said Claire Redfield.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, is that crazy. Either that's his wife or that's his sister.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So when I saw Claire in Code Veronica, RE2, I was like, okay, that is Chris's sister. Ah. And I would have never known Chris had a sister if I didn't just one random arbitrary day pick up a case, turn it over, and I'm like, this nigga got a sister? Oh! What?
Yeah. But you find that in the original Resident Evil 2. In the original Resident Evil 2, she's obviously looking for her brother.
Yes.
But did you ever play the original?
Played the original.
Oh, really?
Now, here's the thing. There's a Twitch streamer I'm subscribed to. His name is Carcinogen.
Oh, I love Carcinogen.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, that's how I started. I started speedrunning, watching him.
That's funny. He doesn't do speedruns, though.
He doesn't do
it. He does no damage.
Yeah, he does no damage.
He used to do speedruns. Oh, okay.
But
that nigga, he does, like, the no damage shit. Mm-hmm. He's a beast.
I started my Resident Evil Origins Part 1 because of Carcinogen. That's how I got into it, because I thought there was... First off, let me say this. The remake of Resident Evil 1... is, I think, by far the best survival horror experience. I think that remake of Resident Evil 1 is truly what Resident Evil is.
Zero and one, right?
Yeah. Well, Zero is... Okay. I have things to say about that one. But the first one is really good. Resident Evil 2 is the best modernized Resident Evil. But they're both, they both have the scare aspects to it, but they both have these two different feels to them. Because obviously the controls and the cameras and stuff.
Two is just flawed. The two remake is so... Like, even after I got all the weapons, because, like I said recently, I told you I was trying to get to S+. I had platinumed the game a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get the minigun and the rocket launcher, so I picked it back up this year, a few months ago, and I finally did it. Yeah. And even now, as I talk to you, I'm talking to you about it, and I'm going to go home and play it.
Yeah, because it's so good.
The game is so good.
It's so good.
Like, okay, the reason why I brought up Kars is because I've seen him play. He plays every goddamn Resident Evil.
Yeah, all of them.
This nigga, he does not discriminate. And I saw Code Veronica on his stream.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. I'm going to keep it a buck. You're probably not going to like this. But whenever I see this dude playing the old Resident Evils, I'm like, my dude, turn this shit off. This shit looks disgusting. Like, I'm looking at Cole Veronica. You see Claire with freaking bulgy ass shoulders. I'm like, son, this bitch is bodybuilding. Yeah. What the fuck? You see this bodybuilding? Oh, like, this grainy 8-bit figure.
Yeah, but like, this is why I want a remake, man. Because that game would look amazing.
I would play it if they remade it. Oh, man. I would play it, you know? Maybe give it a little revelations feel. Maybe, you know?
Absolutely. And those games are pretty slept on, too. I'm glad that you bring those up.
He played, I don't know if it's Revelations, but what's the one where you play as Barry?
Revelations 2.
Yes, okay, so that one.
Both of the Revelations games are very, very good. I would put them, honestly speaking, I would put, like, Resident Evil 2, and then I would put Revelations around there, around the top tiers of Resident Evil games. They're very slept on, let me tell you something. 6 is a good game. It's not a good Resident Evil game. It's a good game, but it's not a good Resident Evil game. Because, honestly speaking, it's like so crazy. One moment you're sliding down the cave, then the next moment you're in China, then the next moment you're in the tundras, and then the next moment, like, it's all over the fucking place. It's like, what is happening? But then you're running away from a plane, then you're running away from a car, then you're fighting a dinosaur, bro. It's
crazy. Wow. I mean, like, alright, when I played RE6... I only did Leon's story because Leon's the only nigga I really give a fuck about. That's my favorite character.
I think we can both handshake on that one. Oh, yeah. He's my boy, too. I love Leon. Okay.
Yeah. That's my nigga. I only played RE6 for their Leon story. That was it. You're with this girl, Helena.
Helena, yeah.
And it was just weird. One thing I like about 6 is the melee strikes. I liked how you could just pull out a melee strike out of nowhere.
Whack. And that's what I'm saying. It's fun. They have, like, good mechanics. You, like, slide, and the way you pick up items is very fast and fluid, reloading. Mm-hmm. The Mercenaries, I would say, is probably the most fun I've had in Mercenaries. In any Resident Evil game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Mercenaries in that game is really, really fun. It's really fun. Yeah. You get a partner going, man. You get all these zombies teaming up on you, and you start melee striking. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so they have a Mercenaries mode. Yeah. Well, RE4 is Mercenaries mode. You already know.
RE4 Mercenaries.
That shit was great.
It's great. But I think Resident Evil 6 Mercenaries refined the Resident Evil 4 Mercenaries. So I think it's actually better. But Resident Evil 4 Mercenaries is really good, though.
Yeah, I mean, Mercenaries was a part of my RE4 journey because I had to get that hand cannon.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Big old.
That's one thing I gotta give 4 over 2 remake. Like, 4 and 2 remake are neck and neck. Neck and neck in terms of my personal preference. But 4 gets a slight edge because of the gratification you get from acquiring OP weapons and decimating everything just on your new game plus
players. Running through the game.
Yes. That is one thing that I gotta say. RE2, you know, they give you the minigun. They give you the rocket launcher. They give you an infinite combat knife. They give you an infinite handgun. That's cool. Cool. But there's something about that Chicago typewriter.
It's so cool.
So cool. And you don't have to fucking reload.
Yeah, you just let that shit
rip. Yo, you just spray like Tony Montana.
And you feel like a badass, too.
This shit is gangster. And then, you know, the infinite rocket launchers.
Yeah. It Resident Evil 4... definitely has a lot of great content and a lot of good rewards.
And that hand cannon, man.
Yeah.
I always had to get it. Oh, and we're forgetting. They had the hand cannon. They had the typewriter. They had the infinite rocket launcher. Yep.
They had that beam gun. I forget the name of it. Yeah,
the
freaking
whatever.
Blocker removal, something like that.
Yo, and that thing, you charge it up and it kills everybody.
The whole beam.
And I'm like, excuse me, this shit is gangster.
Yeah. When I first shot it, I started a new game and I shot it and I'm like, the fuck just happened,
yo,
bro?
Oh, that shit is crazy. And that's one thing I got to give a slight edge to RE4. Going through that game, oh, especially man. On professional, because I think you have to beat the game on professional. No, the Plaga gun. Is on professional.
It's on professional. Okay. Yeah, that's after on professional. After you be professional, that's when you get the gun. Yeah. So I want to get into what do you think about Seven? Oh, yes. What do you think about Village right now?
Okay,
what do
you think about this? A friend of mine gifted me with Village.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had Village. And Seven was free on Plus. And I'm not a big fan.
You're not a big fan?
Not a big fan of Seven.
Not a big fan?
I don't like the first person angle.
Okay.
I really don't like it. For one, let me just say this. I'm going to hit this home.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
The Baker family. Uh-huh. A bunch of dusty ass niggas.
Dirty.
They are some dirty ass niggas. And let me just say that takes away from the horror element. Oh, there is nothing scary. Well, okay. First of all, RE7 off rip, they already introduced the first person element. And I was already kind of like, this is weird. Especially since I'm not really into FPSs like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest FPS fan. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to expand my horizons.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come out the car and you're searching for your wife who disappeared. And then you have to fight the bitch. She starts going crazy.
Oh, man.
And she cuts your arm off.
Oh, man. Come on.
Ow. And Ethan was a little too composed.
I know. If I see my bitch doing some shit like that, man.
Yeah, he was a little too, like, that was one thing I kind of like, yo, is this nigga a robot? Like, this man just got his arm cut off, and he's kind of just, like, sitting there, like, and then you just move on. And I'm like, okay, either this guy's got surprisingly large mental fortitude, or they just didn't want to, like, put too much emotion.
Apparently, there's an explanation to it in Village.
Oh, really?
Okay. I haven't beaten Village yet, but there isn't a whole explanation. Because I wondered that, too. I'm like, yo, this thing just lost his arm, and, like,
he's just
walking around like nothing. Like,
yeah, it was very weird.
He's still shooting the gun. I don't know, man.
Yeah, but...
But I always knew that there was some kind of element backstory to it as to what they probably did to him or something like that, but still.
Okay.
Crazy shit. Yeah.
But Ethan, you know, so far, like I said, I wish I had probably... I was supposed to beat RE7 before Villains came out.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't find the motivation to play it. Like,
I feel you.
I'm just not as into it. If I had beaten the game, I could have had so much more to talk about.
I agree with you with Ethan, because Ethan in Resident Evil 7 is not much of a character.
Mm.
You don't find a lot of depth to him in Resident Evil 7. Okay. Like, so, you know, the fact that you don't like Ethan, or like the, you know, you're questioning Ethan, it's not surprising, because Ethan wasn't really... You're technically supposed to be Ethan. Like, Ethan doesn't have a face because you're the face of... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be Ethan playing Resident Evil, so you're supposed to be experiencing all of it, but yet you still have a wife. I don't... Whatever. Point
yeah,
being
yeah, yeah.
is that Ethan wasn't much of a character. Resident Evil 7, however, I think phenomenal job, me personally. The first-person element was a big departure, but what I loved about Resident Evil 7 was that it actually... brought back that true feeling of Resident Evil. When it comes to gathering resources and solving puzzles to, like, get the shotgun, move on to the next area, find three pieces and put it on the door. Like, okay, where do I have to go now to get the other piece? But then if you go this way, there's a bunch of slob zombie things there. But if I go that way, then Margarita's waiting for me. So you had to kind of think about your route through the house. You had to think about ammo management. But it definitely had a good feel to it.
Yeah, when I first played RE7, the demo, it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, the one where you're playing in the abandoned house kitchen thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That scared the shit out of me.
They did a great job. And I thought it carried well into the game. There is a certain part where it just goes off the rails. And I think, if they just remove this boat part from Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 7 would be a perfect Resident Evil experience. But there's this one part in the game where it's completely removed from the house. You're in a boat. You're playing as Mia, who's his wife. It is so bad.
Really?
Yeah, that part is so bad that, like, imagine if you're, like, going, like, I don't know, it's like a line, and it just does, like, this...
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, like, where did this come from?
Or, like, if you look at a graph of, like, stocks.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's rising, and then that just dropped.
It makes a whole big dip down, yeah. And then the game gets really good back at the end. But that part was really bad. But overall, I think Resident Evil 7 was a great package. When it came to being a Resident Evil game, and when it came to content and all that stuff, I could see why it's a bit of a turnoff when it comes to first-person experiences and, you know, not really feeling the character of Ethan, but I thought they did a good job.
And I don't dislike Ethan. You know, he's whatever.
Exactly. Resident Evil Village, however, I am really enjoying it. Playing it on the hardest difficulty available. It's going well. It has a good pacing. Ethan is more interactive now. He talks more.
Okay.
He's more of a character now. The villains are good. It has a great Resident Evil 4 feeling to it.
Though it's still first person.
Even though it's first person, it has a good Resident Evil 4 vibe. I'm telling you. Not even because of the item management, because the way you navigate through the village, the way you are interacting with the enemies, definitely Resident Evil 4. Definitely.
Okay, so can you already say that you like 8 more than 7?
7? Okay. 7 started off better for me. 7 okay. started off way better. Not when you start in the Baker house, not when you messing around with Mia. First, can we throw this out? I hate Mia as a character, but that's beside the point. Yeah,
yeah. I enjoyed the little videotape segment.
Yeah, those are nice. Yeah. No, but because it fills the story. But Mia as a character, dumb bitch. Resident Evil 7 started off better, but Resident Evil 8, I think it's going to be overall a better package. But let's see.
As far as 8 goes, yeah. I was talking to somebody about this.
Yeah.
And he played Resident Evil. He's actually played a lot of the same Resident Evil as I have, my cousin. And he wasn't too hot on Resident Evil 8. He wasn't too hot on Village because, you know, they started adding things like folklore, werewolves and shit. Personally, I think that shit is gangsta. I would love to see werewolves. And then, we got to talk about it. The fucking vampire chick.
Oh, man.
All the memes and all the, step on me, mommy. Dimitrescu,
right? That's her name? Dimitrescu?
I don't know.
Am I saying it right?
I actually don't know her name at all.
Somebody correct me. I know it's somewhere like that. What?
Yeah, but I mean, listen, first of all, in terms of her being attractive or whatever, the answer is no. Isn't that bitch, is dirty too, right? Just that like the Baker family?
No, she's not part of the Baker family, no.
Completely
different folklore, different village, different time period, everything.
Maybe she's not dirty. But if she's dirty like the freaking Baker, like, no, there's nothing attractive about that. Have you played every single Resident Evil?
Yeah, I have.
So you're basically a Carse. Yeah. I'm speaking to...
Besides the Game Boy Advance ones, I've only seen, there's a game, Resident Evil Gaiden, but I have all of the Resident Evil games besides that. That's why I'm kind of well-versed in the universe and the lore, because obviously I've studied all the Resident Evil games, but...
So, you mentioned that Code Veronica was your second favorite.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Resident Evil?
I mean, it should be no surprise that I think the first one is the remake of 1. I think it's the true Resident Evil experience. The one that I speedrun, I think it's
that is your favorite.
Yeah, it's the truly the Resident Evil glory.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it makes sense because I don't see you speedrunning other ones. Exactly. I always told myself that, if this thing stop trying to speedrun, I'll definitely going to tune into that. But I always wondered, man, I don't see this dude playing any of the other ones. Maybe it's the most challenging, but I never would have thought it was your favorite.
Yeah.
Because
it's...
For me, since I started the game with the behind-the-shoulder camera view, it's a little unfathomable for me to think that somebody would think that the original fixed camera is better.
Yeah, it's better. it's just not even the camera for me. It's just the mood, the difficulty level.
Oh, yes. RE1 remake is definitely harder than any Resident Evil I've played.
It's hard.
Now, 2 is hard. When you play 2 on hardcore, it's hard.
Oh, yeah. It's a good experience. It's a good experience.
Yes, it's hard on hardcore. But, you can get through it because you have a lot of things. They don't hold your hand, but you can accommodate. Mm-hmm. The camera view is accessible, And as long as you stun your zombies and run past them, you'll be okay. That is a thing. In RE1, you ain't stunning nobody. You can't stun zombies.
You can.
Maybe you can, but...
But that's a whole aspect that I won't get into, but don't rely on it.
But one thing I want to talk about RE1 Remake, I can understand, why it's your favorite too, because... So, I mentioned how RE7, the demo, scared the shit out of me when I first played it. When I actually picked up the game a few months ago, it's nowhere near as scary. I played the demo, it was maybe 2-3 years ago, so, it was whatever, but... I'm much older now. I've played RE2 Remake, and I've had my fair share of jump scares. So playing RE7 again wasn't nowhere near as scary. In fact, I'm more repulsed by it than I am scared because of how dirty these motherfuckers are. Right? So I just want to throw that out there. When I first played RE1 Remake, it scared
oh, the yeah. living shit out of me.
That first scene.
More than seven demo.
Oh, of course.
I almost couldn't play it because every room I would go through, I was scared. I was on edge. I was consistently on edge. And as you progress through the game, they start doing crazy shit, like having zombies come through fucking doors.
Oh, randomly. Man.
You go through this one room. I know you know the one I'm talking about. There's a staircase where you go down, and then there's the item box where you get the serum.
Oh,
right?
Man.
You do a couple of things, do a couple of puzzles, and then you go to that room, and then some random nigga just comes through the door, and the music plays. I'm like, yo, that shit scared the shit out of me.
Well, the first time a zombie opened the door on me, I yelped.
Yo, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah,
like, yo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, when you say it captures the RE experience, oh, hell to the yeah.
Oh, man.
I had to get used to RE as a universe all over again so that I could pick up one and not be petrified. And then, so we're talking about zombies open doors and shit, but let's not forget about the main element of RE1 that I believe is the main element of RE1.
Wait a minute.
I may be ignorant
because
I haven't beat the game,
it's
but
okay.
This is my main element.
I think I know where you're going with
this. The scariest thing about it was those fucking crimson heads.
Oh my God.
Son,
bro.
I remember the first time. I got to stand up for this.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I saw a damn crimson head. So remember, you go in this room, so let's say you go into the mansion, right? You go to the door, all the way at the end of the mansion, past the clock, right to the right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long corridor, there's a zombie to the right, you go to the left. I'm gonna map out the whole shit. So you go through that door, you hit a left, and then you go through the door that's at the end where the videotape is. I think it's Kevin.
Kevin, exactly.
The guy, right?
Yeah, he's on the ground.
He's on the ground. So you go through that door, then you got the stairs, and it was annoying ass birds calling at you. Bum ass niggas, right? Go up the fucking stairs.
Yep.
And there's a motherfucker laying on the floor in that room. And he's not moving. You know, he's kind of red, but you don't think nothing of him. So you just go, you got your little imitation key, right? You go up there, you go up the stairs, you put in the key, and then you swap it out. You go downstairs, you step on him. The way this nigga got up, son.
It's so fast.
Yo, I was like,
you don't even know how to react, bro. Yo,
I turned the game off.
Oh my God.
I turned the game off. That nigga, he beat my ass. First things first, he beat my ass. Because I tried to shoot him.
Yeah, it's not doing nothing.
And he runs faster than you.
Oh my.
They run faster than you.
Yo, and they're like the zombies from like the 28 Days Later shit. Bro, oh my.
Yo,
God.
Here's the closest representation to a Left 4 Dead zombie. He's gonna be booking it at
just
you.
Run after you.
And then, yo, and the way he hits you is mad funny.
Oh my
Honestly,
God.
Even though I was scared, I had to laugh. Because this thing could just be
smacking
the shit out of you.
Claws you and then grabs you. And then, yo, the first time, I'm telling you, and it's funny enough because that was the first hallway that I'd encountered it too. It's like, this motherfucker just got up. And I had no idea what the fuck was happening.
No
I was
idea. Like,
yo,
dude.
I thought that motherfucker was dead.
Yes.
I'm like pumping bullets.
And then you find out every single zombie that you kill, if you do not burn or decapitate
but
them.
But that's the moment that hits you when you're like, wait a minute, where the hell did I kill the other zombies at? You're like, oh, I don't even know where the other ones are at. You're like, at that moment you just freeze because you realize that, yo, these motherfuckers are about to come back after me.
Yes, and not only that, but if you're not lucky, you don't decapitate the zombie, right?
Exactly.
You don't decapitate the zombie, so you have to burn the motherfucker.
Exactly.
You have limited kerosene.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and it's funny because I was talking about reading notes in Resident Evil games. When you get to the first safe room, right, there's a note that says...
Yes.
The note says, burn the motherfuckers.
Yes.
But you don't pay no mind to that. When I picked it up, I was like, oh, he burned the zombies. Okay, I just put it away.
Yeah, and you just put it away.
I'm like, oh, okay. So, and in that room, the kerosene is in there with the lighter. Yeah, with the lighter.
Not the lighter. It's different
if you play
for Chris and Jill.
If you play with Chris, you have the lighter. If you play with Jill, you have to find it in the room.
Yes.
But you don't think nothing of it until that moment where you're like, all of them are coming back, and you're like, how the fuck? And then, obviously, you'll probably play through the game again. Because at this point, you're going to die a bunch of times.
Yes.
You're just going to go into every room and like, oh, there's a fucking zombie in there. You're going to come and beat my ass.
Yes.
But when you find out that you have to burn them, it's like... And that's what I think they did so perfectly. It's like, how can you... First, it's scary enough walking through it the first time. Because you don't want to waste bullets and these zombies are like, they eat your bullets. Then you walk through the same spot again... And you're still scared.
Yes. Like, because you don't know if this thing is going to be a Crimson Head. You don't know if you killed any zombies in that area. And it forces you. Here's the thing about RE1 that makes it much harder than 2 Remake. Makes it much harder than 4.
Yeah. Than all of the
is that ones. Let's say that you try to be smart about it. So you're like, okay, if I kill these niggas, there's limited kerosene. So I shouldn't kill all the zombies. Now it becomes a matter of skill. Yeah. You have to dodge these niggas. Yep. Let me tell you, I suck. Yeah. You have to do this thing where you constantly run in a circle.
Oh, man.
And you have to get them to lunge and immediately run past them. Yeah. Nigga, when I get it right, it's fucking luck.
It's awesome.
It's awesome, yes. It is awesome.
Yeah.
But like in RE2, you can kind of like run, and then when you see them charging, they have a ridiculous fucking...
A startup.
A hitbox. They have a ridiculous hitbox in RE2. But you can just run backwards. It's fine. In RE1, so you're not going to kill all the zombies because you know they're going to come back as Crimson Heads.
Yeah.
And you have to burn all of them. If you do, you have limited kerosene, so you can't do that.
Exactly.
So that means that you're not going to kill any zombies. You're going to try to only burn the ones that are already on the floor.
Exactly. But look how the game is teaching you
this. Yes. But then, nigga... Now I gotta go around dodging zombies, but I suck at that, so then I'm gonna die eventually.
Exactly.
That is why I have not fully played through RE1.
Oh my god. Look, listen, if you want to play through RE1, and this is something that I think gamers experience, and I think people in general, like even when they watch animes and movies and stuff, you only get to experience this experience one time.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? That feeling of, I'm new to the game. I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to die. You only experience that one. Whether it is in a show, a game, or movie. But me personally, watching other people play Resident Evil for the first time, or like they haven't gone through the game, it brings that feeling back to me.
Yeah, it's like the feelings are transmitted.
Yeah, it's like, I know what he's about to feel. He's gonna walk into that room and then shit is gonna pop up and he's gonna pop off and then I'm gonna pop off. I can never get that feeling. You get what I'm saying? Like when you know what's about to happen in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you know that the person is about to be betrayed. You don't get that feeling again, like, oh my god, he did that. You don't get it again.
It's like you're consistently chasing the high, but you can never obtain it.
Yeah, and so now that I mentioned that, I want to get into that just real quick. That's why I started speedrunning Resident Evil. Because I had gone through the game so much. I had learned all of his tricks, all the items and stuff. And then I see Carcinogen playing and he's speedrunning it. And I'm like, you can do that? You can beat the game as fast as possible? So then I started mimicking him. I started watching. I'm like, it opened up a new experience for a game that I knew 100%. Now I had to really delve deep into the game again. Like, oh, there's a zombie here. I have to waste this bullet. I have to use this item at a certain point. And I fell in love with it all over again.
Right. So speedrunning for you introduced a whole new variable into the game.
Yeah, and it made me love the game that much more. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I actually feel speedrunning is a little too tedious. Like, if I was to speedrun, I would do like RE2 Remake. You know, I would speedrun that game. But RE1, like, I look up to you in terms of that, how you're able to master this game and all of that, because RE1 was just a puzzle I could not solve. I'll tell you the farthest I got. The farthest I got was after you get out the mansion. Okay. And then you have to go
into the other
house. Other area, right? And mm-hmm. there's like a
dog.
Yeah. Dogs don't come back as Crimson Heads, thank God.
Oh, Jesus, like Crimson Christ. Imagine that?
Once you kill those motherfuckers, they're dead forever.
Bro.
Oh, God. Yeah, I got up to like that second part and this weird fucking thing there that knocks Jill out.
Oh, Lisa.
Yeah, it's like a weird... I don't even remember what it looks like.
It's like a figure. It's like... Yeah. Oh, my God.
And apparently, I heard that shooting that bitch don't do nothing. That you're wasting your bullets.
I'm so glad that you bring up Lisa, because that's another aspect of Resident Evil that is not present. Lisa is... She has a very, very deep storyline behind that creature. And you just feel so bad for it. But
ooh, really?
But you don't get that stuff in the new Resident Evil. It's a scary thing. Like, the backstory behind Lisa is like she's the daughter of the creator of the mansion. And they were like their first experiments. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. And that creature, Lisa, if you look at it, there's a face on that creature.
It's
crazy.
It's like, I can't visualize what the creature was that knocked Jill out, but for some reason, I'm getting spinning. Is there something spinning on her?
Chains. She has chains.
Oh, on chains.
Okay, when she hits Jill, she kind of like hits her with this chain looking thing.
Yeah. Okay.
She's like, she was locked away. And this is what is so interesting, because the G-virus came from that thing.
Came from this thing? G-virus?
Yeah, they fucked with that girl so much that they just like, oh my. They even tried to put the Nemesis virus into that
really?
Thing.
Really?
And it just ate it. It ate the Nemesis parasite. Yeah. But this is what I love about the lore behind Resident Evil, is that it went so deep. Whereas nowadays, it's like, it's not really like in depth as to that character. That character is great. That's why I love Resident Evil Code Veronica X, because it goes in deep into certain characters and their backstories and what happened and why they were infected and why did they turn into this thing. I miss that element. I miss it. I really do.
Right. Yeah, it's just really good writing.
It's exactly.
Really rich. Everybody has a story that's so lucrative.
Yeah, you can kind of dig. If you find notes, you can dig deeper as to why certain things are the way they are. But I understand why Capcom does their things. Obviously, money. Obviously, to get people into, you know.
There also could be time constraints. I'm pretty sure it's time consuming to come up with such a deep and rich backstory for everything.
Yeah.
Character, you know?
But I'm glad. I'm glad that we hit on... We hit on Resident Evil 1. We hit on Resident Evil 4. The new ones.
A 2.
We hit on...
We did 7. We did Village.
Yeah.
Hold up. What's up with Zero? How you feel about Zero?
I like Zero. I like Zero. I made it seem like I didn't like Zero, but Zero is also a game that people sleep on. It's not as good as 1 and 2 and the classic ones. It's good. It has a little frustrating elements. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah? Well,
A little bit of frustrating elements.
I played about maybe 10, 15 minutes of Zero.
Yeah.
I wanted to play 1 first. Yeah. I know Zero's the prequel, but I wanted to play 1 and then do Zero.
I like Zero. I like the story behind Zero. There's, like I said, frustrating elements to it, and that's why it can be off-putting to people.
Mm. The switching partners thing, I'm gonna keep it a bug with you. I really like that. I think it's kind of...
It's a little clunky.
It's really clunky to me. I'm just like, damn, because I'm looking at it as this game, instead of it being a cool feature that I can explore and have fun with, it just seems more tedious.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I gotta switch between these motherfuckers.
And
oh
it
my
gets
God.
Really annoying with certain items and certain things that you have to do with certain characters.
Yes, like, you know? One thing I can say I already didn't like about Zero was, if you need Billy to get an item, you have to go to this place with Rebecca, and you have to switch, and bring Billy to the same place, switch to Rebecca, put the item through the
item management system, right?
Yeah, and then you have to, there's like a panel in the train.
Puzzle in the game. Oh my god, I stood in that puzzle forever.
I already knew, I'm not gonna like this shit. I get into
that. And that's what it is. Resident Evil definitely has some off-putting elements, but once you get the flow of the game going, it can be just as good as like the Resident Evil 1 experience.
Okay.
So it's good.
Oh, another interesting question though. Do you have a Resident Evil in which you thoroughly enjoyed the puzzles? Like, what are your favorite puzzles? For me, 4 had the best puzzles.
4 has some very even fun puzzles.
Yeah, like they took me a long time, but the puzzles in 4 were mad fun, especially the Ashley puzzle.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what it is about that puzzle. That shit is mad fun.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. And the one in the church where you kind of have to mesh
you have to
combine.
That one's kind of annoying. I've kind of fucking hate
and
that
then
one.
There's something else.
Oh, I think you might be talking about the church dial to get the green cat's eye?
Something like, it's behind the church.
The dials. Yes. Yeah. And that's cool too.
It was cool. Yeah.
That's, okay. Ooh. RE2 and RE4 did this, but... Also, the added items that you get from treasure, like the cat's eyes.
Yeah.
The gems you combine you with the sell. Jewelry.
Yeah.
That was a really neat.
I thought that was too. Good stuff, too. Yeah.
That was neat.
I'm going to say Resident Evil 4 definitely has the best puzzles. Because they're very intuitive. Like, yes. You can kind of figure them out if you just kind of stick with them for a bit. You know, like, whereas, like, in the classic Resident Evil games, those puzzles were definitely harder. Even if you play Silent Hill, to bring in a little bit of Silent Hill, back in the days, those puzzles, you had to really sit down and think, man. It got to the point where I had to take pictures of things.
Oh,
like,
man.
On my phone to kind of remember, you know, what it was that I needed to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
And so, in that aspect, I love doing stuff like that. I love doing investigative work.
That's cool. That's...
But I will say Resident Evil 4 definitely has the best puzzles.
Oh, yes.
After that, I'm just being biased, but, you know, I do love Resident Evil 2 puzzles and, of course, the remake puzzles. I think they're really well designed.
Mm.
Definitely 4 has the best puzzles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And then I think one last thing I want to hit on is just the best, I think, is Leon is my favorite character. We can go through some of the character lists, but... There's a character in the Resident Evil universe that's just a god. Like, he sits at like, above everyone else.
Wesker?
Wesker. I just think Wesker is the most badass motherfucker in all of Resident Evil.
Wow. You know,
Wesker is just... He's ruthless. He just doesn't give a fuck. Man, and here's the thing. You see him in Resident Evil 5 a lot. Resident Evil 5 is kind of like his game. But if you've seen the way this guy was operating in the games before, especially in Code Veronica, like, this guy was behind the scene guy. When he's behind the scene, Wesker, oh, man, he's such a badass. He's like, in Code Veronica, right, there's a part where you're playing as Chris's sister, Claire.
Uh-huh.
And he walks up to her and just starts... beating the shit out of him.
Jesus.
He's like, oh, you're Chris's sister. He's like, you know how bad I hate Chris? Like, and she's like, yo, like, this, like, he's like, oh, she's basically trying to defend him. He's like, he ain't do nothing to you. Like, he did what he had to do. And he's like, bitch, what? Smacks the shit out of him. Like, you have to watch this scene. And the first time when I encountered this, because I thought Wesker was dead, but when he comes out in that scene, because in the end of Resident Evil 1, Wesker is supposedly dead. The next time you see him is in Resident Evil Code Veronica. But when you hear his voice and the way he comes into that scene, it's like, this nigga alive! And you're like, oh my god!
Wow.
And he's like, he's about to kill Claire! He's about to kill Chris's sister! Like, it's just going crazy. He smacks her, stomps on her. Oh my god.
Yo! Like, okay, I love Leon. I can't really share that sentiment for Wesker because, unfortunately, I don't know much about him. Okay, I've played 5. You know, it was okay.
Yeah. Because in 5, Wesker just went off the deep end. That's what happened.
I mean, I tell you what, one thing I do like about Wesker is the dude's got a real smooth serial killer voice.
Man, I'm telling you, you gotta watch some scenes. Ice. You gotta watch some scenes where he's doing behind the work stuff.
Okay, and I also saw him in 1, you know, but I'm like, Wesker was a good guy, so when did he turn bad?
Well,
like,
he was already bad in 1.
Oh.
From the get.
Okay.
From the get. Because you see the backstory in 0.
Exactly.
You see Wesker kind of fumbling around in 0 before he gets to the mansion.
Okay.
With the team. Yeah.
So and just to be politically correct here, mm-hmm. Wesker is Stars in 1. He was the Stars captain.
Captain, yeah. He's like the leader.
He was already a dickhead.
He was already working for him, bro.
Kind of like Leonard Burns.
Yeah.
In RE2.
Yep. Okay. He was already behind the scenes. He was doing his work, man. And that's what I love about the character. He's so secretive. He's so strong in, like, his the way he presents himself. Resident Evil 1, not so much, obviously, because he has to play the part. He has mm-hmm. to play the part of a good guy. And in the other Resident Evil games, when you look at him working behind the scenes, he definitely is a menacing factor.
Yeah.
But Resident Evil 5, he kind of went off the deep end, and that's what got him killed. You know?
Right.
But in the other ones, he would be... behind the scenes, even Resident Evil 4, actually. Resident Evil 4, he is there.
Yeah, he's there with Ada.
Yeah.
When you do Ada's side story, which, wow, I didn't touch on that for 4, but yeah. I actually liked Separate Ways.
Oh, I love Separate Ways.
Separate Ways.
Resident Evil 4 is just the perfect game, man.
So everything.
Separate Ways was
Oh, and let me just say that the RE2 remake extra modes, fuck those shits. I don't like any of them.
The one at the gas station?
Yes. Yo, that was actually the reason why it was so hard for me to platinum RE2 remake. The last trophy I got was No Way Out, which is where you're in that fucking gas
station. That's the last trophy I had to do. The one before the platinum, that was the one I had to do too.
I will never go back to it. All right? I'm just going to say, I'll go back to Separate Ways. Those are the time attack shits.
Ada's a great character. I think Ada's a nice character. Leon obviously is good. Claire's a good character. Jill is, I would say she's my favorite. Ada's a badass, but I would say I love Jill. I have a close connection with Jill only because she's in the first one. See, I'm being biased. Jill is not really a good written character, but I love her. I love her.
Okay, like Jill, like I think Jill, you know, you obviously have Jill in 5 and she's bad for some reason. I don't really know why. You could probably enlighten me on that.
Because Wesker controlled her.
Okay.
There's a whole backstory behind that, but I don't want to get into that.
Yeah. But Jill, see, my favorite character is Leon. I don't really have a favorite female character.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, maybe it'd be Ada. Ada in RE2, I liked her.
She was great.
Liked her in 4 as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but 4... You know, we go back to the cringy writing.
She has some lines.
Yeah, she has some lines. But RE2 was cool because I think Ada established herself as a super spy.
Yeah.
You know, real slick and smooth.
Yep.
I really, really like that about her. Still don't really have a favorite female character. But what I can say about Jill and what I can give you about Jill.
Yeah.
I like Ada more than Jill. I can definitely say that.
Yeah.
But what I can give you about Jill is that in RE1, like you have, you know, you pick between the BSAA
and the suit. Jill. Oh yeah, the costume.
The badass Jill with the hat. The ponytail. I don't really like it that much. No? I don't like that.
Oh my god!
I like the original Stars Jill.
Stars Jill.
Because when you look at her, she looks so innocent, so
I love that.
Pure. It's like you better protect her.
Yeah, I love that about, and that's another thing too about that game. They all look so young. When you look at Chris in that game, he looked like a boy.
Yeah,
like before he came all muscled up and you know.
Oh, that was
I have so much appreciation for that game overall. Resident Evil in general, like it taught me a lot about myself in gaming, like trying again and trying again and like really delving deep into stories, because I love stories.
Yes.
And I've looked up Resident Evil story and the lore. I spent nights just looking up everything, all the T-virus designs, all the monsters, all the characters. I love that stuff. And it started from Resident Evil.
You know, that's funny that you say that, because the way you feel about that, you know, the constant investigative work that you did, that's how I feel about Sekiro. That's how I feel about Sekiro.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about Sekiro. The notion of playing a game that's really hard, getting fucked up numerous times.
Oh, man.
And then having to keep fighting over and over until you finally get it.
Yeah.
I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Yep.
RE is more of a, you know, survival strategy.
Yeah.
But Sekiro is just straight up skill and timing, you know?
And dedication, right? Because you got to try over and over.
And you cannot make mistakes.
Yep.
In Sekiro, you cannot make mistakes.
I believe it.
Make one or two mistakes, you are dead. And that's pretty much with RE as well. You know, like, not really, right? Because you can make one or two mistakes.
Yeah, you can make mistakes.
And salvage it.
Yeah.
Not in Sekiro.
Yeah.
All right, you make a couple of mistakes, nigga, you fucked up.
That's it, you dead. You gotta
You're gonna die.
Yep.
You can revive, but if you make more mistakes, you're gonna die again. That's a game where you want to minimize your mistakes. Really, in all games, you want to minimize your mistakes.
Yeah, but Sekiro?
Yeah. I get you. There's also hidden lore in Sekiro where you find out about backstories of certain characters and side quests and shit. But tell me if this is like the same with RE. In Sekiro, they don't really tell you anything. You kind of just have to go around and figure shit out.
I mean,
they don't give you any real guidance in Sekiro.
Because you have to go and interact with certain NPCs.
Yeah, NPCs. And there's not many clues.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you read the documents and stuff lying around, you can kind of get more lore of the story. You could kind of figure out what's going on in Resident Evil just by going through the game, especially the newer ones now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to pick up any documents. You could just go through the game. So Sekiro definitely has it more investigative work nowadays.
Yes.
Where you have to kind of just investigate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play Resident Evil 2, let's say you don't read any of the documents, you can kind of get a grasp of what the heck is going on, right?
Yes.
But in Sekiro, can you do that?
Yeah, you can. You get a grasp of what's going on. It can be summed up very easily.
Yeah.
Basically, there is a particular power. It's a heritage.
Yeah. Right?
Or like a bloodline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's called the dragon's blood. And the dragon's blood allows people to be immortal. There's the Ashina samurai, which is it's a nation of samurai.
Okay.
And the ministry, which there's not much to be said about the ministry outside of the fact that they're trying to take over Ashina. Ashina has the main vanguard, and this old man, his name is Ishin. That nigga is a badass.
He beast?
Like, you know how Yamamoto is in Bleach?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that dude, the fire dude, the old man in Bleach.
Yeah.
That nigga is a beast. Basically, there's a war going on, but you, Sekiro himself, the main character, you don't belong to anybody. You're a rogue. And you defend the divine heir, who has the dragon's blood. So, really, everybody is trying to get a piece of Kudo, that's his name, because they're trying to get an edge in the war. There's one character in particular, this man, his name is Ashina Genichiro, who was the grandson of Ishin, the badass old man. Yeah. He wants to use the dragon's blood to be immortal, to get an edge in the war against the ministry, because he doesn't want Ashina to be taken over.
I got you. Okay.
He loves Ashina, and that nigga is willing to do whatever the fuck he can to make sure that he wins.
Yeah.
That is why you have to fight him multiple times, because your job is to protect the divine heir.
Yeah.
That was a task that was bestowed upon you by your father. He picked you up off the battlefield, and he taught you how to be a shinobi.
Owl.
Right? His name is Owl. That nigga a bitch. he's a bitch in the sense that he's not a good person. Okay. I love him as a character. I love the fight with Owl. Oof. You really just...
Wait, so you have to fight him?
Yes, you have to fight him. You have to fight him. You can choose not to fight him, but he winds up dying anyway.
Okay.
Regardless, no matter whether you choose the bad ending or the good ending, he's going to die. So, and he's going to be killed by you. Mind you, I should say that Sekiro kills him. If you choose the good ending, or if you choose whatever, Owl is going to die. Because in the bad ending, you kill Owl, but in a cutscene. In a good ending, you have to fight Owl as a boss.
The last boss? Or just...
No, he's not the last boss, but he is definitely one of the harder ones. But the fun, one of the most fun bosses in the game. Because, you know, most of the time in Sekiro, you're fighting Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
But Owl's a shinobi. It's shinobi versus shinobi.
So
it has a different feel to it. He uses tricks and schemes. He doesn't just rely on sheer sword strength and samurai prowess. No.
So it's like different tricks from all the fights in the
game. Yes, and oof. Owl, great character. Like I said, he is a dickhead. I cannot stress that enough. He is a dickhead, but great character. You know, kind of like Wesker in a way. Dickhead, but great character.
Absolutely.
You know, and... Yeah, I just, whenever you talk about the investigative work, I always think about how, you know, Sekiro is just that for me.
Yeah.
And one thing I should also add is, with Sekiro, Owl is the one who told you from jump, when he picks you up off the battlefield, he gives you this thing called the Iron Code, which one is, Father's word is absolute.
Yeah.
So him, his word is absolute. And two, Kudo's word is absolute. That is the Iron Code. Protect Kudo.
Okay.
You know, that is pretty much how Sekiro lives his life. Mm. You can either
live by these rules.
Yes, it is the Shinobi Iron Code. And it's the Iron Code. I don't know if it's like a universal thing in their universe, but the Iron Code is something that Owl told Sekiro. So it might just be a father-son thing that they agreed on. But the point is that you can choose to be a mindless sheep in Sekiro where you just do what you're told.
Mm.
Or Sekiro begins to think for himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And because Sekiro, like, Owl tells you to defend this little boy, but Sekiro really cherishes his relationship with Kudo. And you see that he doesn't just protect him because Owl tells him to. He actually wants to do it. He respects and admires Kudo as a person. You know, he's such a small kid, but because he has the dragon's blood, he's got wisdom beyond his age.
Yeah.
Way beyond his age, you know? So that's really one thing I gotta say. Like, Wesker is somebody who goes behind the scenes and manipulates things.
Yeah.
Owl is the same way. Owl fakes his death, just like Wesker. Comes back, and he tries to tell you,
He ain't your master no more. Listen to me. Forsake your master because he wants the dragon's blood. Owl wants the dragon's blood for himself. There we go. Yeah. He don't give a fuck about the war between the ministry and Ashina. He don't give a fuck about that shit. He like, nigga, I want that shit because he's on some megalomaniac vibe. You know what I'm saying? He's like, we can take over the world talking to Sekiro.
Yeah.
Right? So Owl is somebody who is very manipulative, very much a schemer. Very calculative.
Yeah.
Very
calculative. And I like characters like that. I know stories and stuff like that. Yeah.
If so. You played Sekiro, I think you were fucks with Owl too.
Oh, man. I think you were fucks with Owl, man. I could probably get the game for like 20 beans now, right now. Like,
yeah, there's a Game of the Year edition. I don't know how much it is, but if you buy it on the PlayStation Store, it's going to be too expensive.
Too expensive?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I buy most of my stuff physically.
So. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, so. We had that conversation.
Yeah, we did. It was great. Oh, man. But, you know, I wanted to ask about, I guess, a good segue to talk about difficulty in games nowadays.
Yeah.
You did mention Sekiro, and I know Sekiro is a hard game, so you gotta just want to talk about that.
Yeah, difficulty, right. So you mentioned how in the older Resident Evil games, it's a lot harder than in the newer ones. Yeah. I felt that with RE1. I feel it with games like Sekiro, from software games in general. I also dabbled a little bit in Demon's Souls, you know, because they remastered it for the PS5. That shit is hard as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yo, these From Software games just fuck you in your ass. Like, there's just no lube.
Yeah.
You know, there's no consideration for your fragile little brother.
At all. Yeah. No. I played Bloodborne. I haven't played the Souls games, but I will. I have them. I have one of them downloaded. I have the original, the remake of Dark Souls, but I definitely have to get into them because I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot about how hard those games are, and games nowadays, I'm sorry, but they're just too easy.
Yeah, and there's another beautiful paradigm with that in Persona 5, which is one of my favorite games of all time.
Is it hard?
Persona 5
is
definitely a hard game, especially if you play it in the hardest difficulty. Persona 5 Royal, which is the remastered version, they really hold your fucking hand. When I tell you, it is colossally different.
Oh my God.
It is astronomically different from the original Persona 5. It's a better game. It is the better game. It is a superior game. But in terms of difficulty, it ain't even close. It is not even close. I'll give you an example, too. Like, in Persona 5, right? You know, it's one of those turn-based games. Yeah. You bump into an enemy, and then the battlefield is created afterwards, right?
Yeah.
In Persona 5, the original, you have multiple ways to attack. You can just straight up attack, or you can use your persona to attack. Mm-hmm. Or you have a gun, right?
Yeah.
In the original game, the gun, there are some enemies that are weak to gunfire. So you can exploit their weaknesses and then get an upper edge in a battle and do this thing called an all-out attack. If you get all your enemies down, you get this thing called a hold-up, which is where you can basically take your enemies hostage and you can choose to either negotiate with them to get them to join your side or do an all-out attack where your entire party just fucks them up.
Yeah.
Right? So in Persona 5, the original, your gun is set. As in, if you use up all your bullets, that's it. You don't get any more until the next day you come back into the dungeon. In Royal, every single battle that you enter, so let's say you go into one battle, you use all your gun. The ammo resets.
Every single time.
And I'm like, that, I don't even have to go into the other things with Persona 5 Royal. That alone is pivotal to what makes the game easier. Because I cannot tell you the many times I would be trying to grind in original Persona 5, run out of fucking bullets, and not be able to exploit one enemy's weakness. Because some niggas is only weak to gunfire. And I'm like, I ran out of guns. Now I got to fight this nigga straight up.
Yep.
And some of them have really good attack power. So if I don't buff myself with defense or whatever, I might die. What the fuck? You know, I actually think it makes so much more sense to have the ammo reset after every battle. But I never would have thought about that until I played Royal.
Yeah.
You know,
so you appreciated that.
I appreciated that feature in Royal, but that it cannot be overstated that makes the game so much easier because guns are very important in Persona.
Yeah,
right. Like you can upgrade them, you can buy better ones.
Yeah,
guns are pivotal.
I can't stand that, and I wish there was ways where that's a mechanic built into the game that you don't have an option of turning on or off.
Yes.
Right? In some games, obviously, you could start up the game and just put it on the hardest difficulty.
Yes. Right?
And then you'll have your time. Yeah. That's what you want, right? You want a hard game. But then there's certain games like that where you have like elements that kind of just hold your hand. Like I recently was playing Mario Kart 8, right? You know how you fall off the stages in Mario Kart, right? You know, you gotta restart and get back on. All right, so I got online. I was playing with my siblings and we were playing online. And I'm like, sis, what's this antenna thing you have in the back of your car? And she goes, oh yeah, if I'm about to fall off the level, it pushes me back on. I'm like, what?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I was like, what is happening? I'm like, if you fall off the stage, bitch, you better get yourself an item and catch up.
Yeah.
No, the item literally pushes her back onto the track and she keeps going.
That is akin to the Persona 5 Royal Handicap.
And it's just
with
like,
the gun. Yo, that's crazy.
And I understand why they do certain things like this. They want to appease to the mass audience, the casual audience, so that obviously it sells more. They're more in line with continuing playing the game and enjoying it. But for some of us, and I appreciate it because you can take off the antenna thing.
Mm-hmm. If you want to play, you can take it off.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But to me, that's where I draw the line. Give me the option to play it on the hardest difficulty. If you don't give me the option, if you're making the game so easy for me, that's when I get upset. Because it's like, you're holding my hand and I don't want you to. I want to have a full-blown experience. Even when you restart games, right? Now you have to go through the tutorial again. Now you have to go through all the easy section again. You're not going to want to play it again.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Like, but I appreciate some aspects, but then in other aspects, in certain games, it's just, it takes away from the true overall experience of any title that you're playing.
Yes. And you know, because of that fact, it really accentuates the games that can still be hard.
Yeah.
You know, like absolutely. Last of Us. I don't know if you ever played The Last Ungrounded? Of Us Part
2. I haven't finished 2, but Part 1 on Grounded?
Son.
Forget it.
Forget about it.
Oh.
And Last of Us 2 takes it a step further where they add permadeath.
Oh, yeah. So if you die, that's it. Game over.
Yeah. You can edit the extent of the permadeath, though.
Oh, okay.
Like, at first, before I had done it, because I beat it on a permadeath setting, but I chose the lowest setting.
Oh, okay.
The highest setting is obviously you die, you start the whole game over. Then the middle setting is you die, you start the whole act over. So, you know how you have Seattle day one, Seattle day two. So, if you die in Seattle day one, let's say Jackson.
Yeah.
No, it's impossible to die in Jackson. Just one of the chapters in Seattle day one, you got to start over from Seattle day one, the beginning. Straight up.
Yeah.
Then you have per act, per chapter.
Yeah.
Which is basically, you progress one chapter, you're good.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start a new chapter, if you die, you're just going to start over from the beginning of that chapter.
Yeah.
That's how I did it.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that they give you the choice. That's what my thing is about this whole conversation, is that don't take it away from me. Don't tell me how to play the game. Don't tell me how to, I don't like that. Give me the option of playing on the hardest difficulty. If I want to, I'll go ahead. If I want to have a casual experience while I play a game and I'm not trying to use my brain power, okay, fine. I'll play it on easy.
Yeah.
It's also another thing, too.
It takes away from the thinking element, where gaming now becomes like a mindless kind of interaction.
Like the enemies will barely try to attack you. Or they'll barely take HP.
Some people are cool with that, but definitely it takes away from the get good aspect.
Exactly.
The challenge aspect.
Yeah. And I love that. I miss that about the older games. Like, you know, I'm only talking from experience, but like, one great example for me is Devil May Cry. It's funny we were talking about that. Where Devil May Cry was a hard game, and you would get ranked on every chapter depending on how well you did, right? So in the original Devil May Cry, if you got hit, if you didn't kill a certain amount of enemies, if you didn't do certain things, you would get a bad ranking. Now, in the most recent iteration, Devil May Cry 5, man, if you can get hit so many times, you can get through the stage and an amount of time that you need to, you will still get a very high rank. And that, for me, pisses me off.
Yeah, okay, so, you know what? Even if the game was easier, at least grade with standard. It's like, not only are you easy, but then you're fucking patting me on the back for
every little thing. Great job, you made it through the stage. Here's an S rank.
Here's an S rank. Oh, nah.
I just got my ass handed to me. Don't give me no.
It doesn't feel like you earned that S.
Exactly.
The S is invaluable. Exactly.
And that's just one aspect. And I appreciate games like Sekiro, Bloodborne, Dark Souls, where they don't give you that option.
They don't. You know, even Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
I still gotta
play that game.
Yo, there's a difficulty on there that is insanely hard. I forgot the name of it. But I tried to play it on that difficulty, and holy shit. If you're not sneaking up on people or those machines, then good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to fight one of those dinosaurs with just your bow.
I believe it.
Applaud you for being so just dauntless.
Yeah, and just going in there and like,
because I couldn't do that shit. Dude, them niggas was fucking me up, man.
Man, that's the thing. You know, it's made for certain people. I understand. It's made for the casual audience, the audience that buys the game just to endlessly play it. But for people like me, you know, and people like yourself who play and want a challenge, give me that option.
Yes.
And I'll take it away.
But to be fair, you know, there are some games that are a little easier, but there are games that will still let you experience things hard, like, you know, Ghost of Tsushima is like that too. They have a lethal difficulty that is definitely challenging. If you fight a boss, you get hit once, you're dead. It really annoyed the shit out of me. I was just trying to get the game over with.
Yeah.
Boy, you're over here getting hit. Fucked up by these fucking bosses.
Anyways, bro. Again, guys, if you guys haven't seen that first episode again, please check it out. It was a great time. This time, it was also a great time.
Yo.
We got so many points, dude. Anything you want to say?
No. Honestly, all I can say is, Maidu.
Nah, we're going to end the episode today, guys. Yo. Till the next one, guys. Peace. And of course, as always, you know the line, man.
Stay infinite. Once we out here.